Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 22nd day of June 2020. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program J. Ryan Davidson. He is a PhD candidate at the Free University of Amsterdam, researching pastoral theology in the early church period. And he's pastor at Grace Baptist Chapel, a Reformed Baptist congregation in Hampton, Virginia. Today he's going to be addressing his book, Green Pastures, A Primer on the Means of Grace, which is published by Reformed Baptist Academic Press. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, J. Ryan Davidson.
Thanks, Chris. It's good to be back with you, brother.
I'm going to immediately give our email address out in the event that we have listeners who would like to ask you a question, and that email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and as always, when you're sending in a question, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you hear a doctrinal issue being discussed, you want to ask a question about it, but you disagree with your own pastor or the predominant members of your church, or perhaps you're even a pastor and you disagree with your own elders or your denomination over this issue, or over the issue that you're writing about. Well, that is those are very good reasons to remain anonymous, but if it's just a general question, please just give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Well, first of all, I would love to hear just a little bit more about your candidacy for a PhD at the Free University of Amsterdam. I understand, as I just mentioned in your introduction, that you're researching pastoral theology in the early church period, which has got to be fascinating because obviously there are a lot of practices that went on, especially probably involving ecclesiology and church polity, that were present in the patristic era and so on and earlier, that may not necessarily reflect what Baptists believe and Baptist practice. We believe that our church polity is biblical, but as you know, as a student of history, it didn't take very long for the church to start to develop extra-biblical ideas very early on after the apostolic era. But if you could, tell us about that in brief.
Certainly, brother. Lord willing, hopefully in the next few months I'll be finished with it. It's in the last stages of review right now, but the dissertation is really looking at pastoral care within the first 200 years of the early Christian movement. And because of the need for a PhD to be very focused, my particular focus is on the pastoral care, and I'll even use a modern word, the counseling provided to the Christian family within the Christian movement. So it's a kind of a very targeted, specific focus and narrowed down to the first 200 years of Christianity, and it's been a fascinating study.
Great. Well, perhaps sometime we can have you on to discuss your doctoral dissertation.
Certainly, certainly.
And tell us about Grace Baptist Chapel in Hampton, Virginia.
Well, it's a wonderful church. I'm biased, of course. My wife, Christy, and I, we have four kids. We've been at Grace now for just at 12 years. And Grace has been a church that has existed for about 40 years or so. But over the last few years, we've become a confessionally reformed Baptist church. Always had Calvinistic roots. But become a confessionally reformed Baptist church, and we're growing, and by God's grace, He is at work within the body. So it's a sweet fellowship.
Well, praise God, and if anybody wants more information about Grace Baptist Chapel in Hampton, Virginia, go to gracebaptistchapel.net, gracebaptistchapel.net. Well, the title of your book, as I've mentioned in the outset of the broadcast, Green Pastures, A Primer on the Ordinary Means of Grace. Just out of curiosity, are you tying in Psalm 23 to that theme of the ordinary means of grace?
Yes, yes. In fact, on the very last page of the book, Psalm 23 is listed there. So absolutely.
And the ordinary means of grace, that may be an unfamiliar phrase to those outside of Reformed theology. In fact, there are some who might claim to be within Reformed theology, those that we would call hyper-Calvinists, who deny and, of course, the hyper-Calvinistic movement is not a monolithic group, but many of them deny that God uses means of grace at all. They would say that that is an Arminian mindset that would lead you to believe that God uses means. In fact, many in the primitive Baptist denomination, which is largely but not completely hyper-Calvinist, they even would call it the means doctrine, and they don't mean that favorably. But if you could tell us exactly what you mean by the ordinary means of grace.
Certainly. The working definition I use in the book, there are several different ways that you could state this, but I came up with this, that the ordinary means of grace are the instruments Christ ordinarily uses to birth and strengthen the faith of the elect as he is present among them. And we use the term ordinary means. That word ordinary in common discussion or parlance often sometimes means simple, not special. But by ordinary, we mean these are the things that the Lord in his word has said he will regularly use and bless in the life of those who attend to these things in faith. And so in the pages of Scripture, we see ordinary means specified there for us that we are to go to. And those specifically are preaching, sacraments or ordinances, and prayer. There are many, many means the Lord uses in the life of a believer. A radio interview, a podcast, a blog, a good Christian book. But those are extraordinary means. The regular means that the Scripture says the Lord will use in the life of the believer are, as I just mentioned, preaching, prayer, and the ordinances. And so the focus in that definition is that there are instruments or means that he uses, and that they are instruments that a risen, reigning, and present Christ uses among his people. So that's just a little bit of an introduction there.
And how would a Reformed understanding of the ordinary means of grace differ from sacerdotalism, for instance, or a false or even idolatrous understanding of the sacraments?
Certainly. I mean, I think probably the main thing that we could say is that the means of grace are means that the Spirit of God uses among His people, particularly as they attend, as it relates to the sacraments in particular, as you mentioned, as they attend to them in faith. And so we shouldn't view these means as physical acts which have power in and of themselves. Nor should we view them as things that we should worship or idolize or go to outside of the understanding that they are things that the Lord Himself is using among His people. So when we think of ordinances or sacraments, we shouldn't think that immersing someone in water or coming to a table with bread and wine has power in and of itself. But as the Spirit of God is at work among the faithful, these are means that He uses. And I think that's the key distinction.
Great. Well, we do have a listener already who actually is remaining anonymous. The anonymous listener asks, I'm going through in my church some time of puzzlement over the Reformed Baptist understanding of the Lord's Supper. I had all my life previously believed the Lord's Supper to be a memorial only, but now I'm learning other things that Reformed Christians believe that would include the real presence of Christ in the sacrament, etc. Can you please explain this to me, because I just don't get a mental grasp of how this is a biblical teaching and how it would be separate from the heresies of Roman Catholicism? Well, obviously, you could spend 2 hours answering that question.
Certainly.
But if you could give as best a summary answer to that as you possibly can.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the question, and it's a good one. I think any answer is going to be too short. But just to be brief, I think when we look at Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, he's comparing the practice of the Christian church to the idolatrous feasts that occur in kind of secular pagan Corinth. And one of the things that he says is he references the Lord's Supper. He says, the bread that we break, the cup that we bless, is it not a participation in the body or the blood of Christ? The word used there is the Greek word koinonia, fellowship, participation. And so we're meant to understand that when we come to the table, we are in a participation of spiritual means with the Lord Christ. Now, we could say that that means, okay, the bread and the wine, they or juice, if the church is using that turns into the body and blood of Christ, the transubstantiation view of the Roman Catholic Church. But of course, we would say that that is not at all what is being discussed, but rather that when a person comes to the table in faith, Christ, by the Spirit, is spiritually present among the believers. And there's a lot we could say about the spiritual presence view. It differs from our Lutheran brothers and sisters, and of course the Roman Catholic or even Eastern Orthodox view. But I think 1 Corinthians 10:16 is a crucial text among some others. That's initially where I would start. And of course, there are a whole swaths of works on this issue, particularly coming out of the Reformation, that we could talk about historically. But that's a good start, I think, to define the difference.
Yes, unfortunately, our Roman Catholic friends, if they are knowledgeable of Catholic rhetoric, or if they are knowledgeable of Catholic apologetics, when the Catholic apologists sees in the patristic evidence that most, if not all, of the church fathers believed in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, they equate that with transubstantiation. So they think that that's a proof that transubstantiation was taught and practiced centuries before we as Protestants believe that heresy arose. But these are not the same thing, or they don't need to be the same thing, real presence and physical, bodily, miraculous transformation. Am I right?
Right, yeah, I think so.
And, well, thank you, anonymous listener. And by the way, you have received or will receive a free copy of Green Pastures, a primer on the ordinary means of grace by our guest today, J. Ryan Davidson, published by Reformed Baptist Academic Press. And so please give us your full mailing address, your full name. Obviously, none of that information will be disclosed on the air, especially since you have requested to remain anonymous. So thank you very much for participating in the show. Let's see, we have another anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, I was just listening to you talk about the real presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, but are we as Reformed Christians to have a parallel view of baptism, or is baptism merely a memorial of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and our dying with Christ and rising again in new birth?
I think it's a good question. I think the answer, would, in short, would be no, and with a caveat. I think the Scripture speaks to the Lord's Supper as a particular meal where we have fellowship with the risen Christ, who promises to be among His people. The caveat, though, is that both the Lord's Supper and baptism as sacraments are both visible words. And this goes all the way back to Augustine. Many have used it. But we ought to think of both the sacraments as visible words. In other words, they are sermons, if you will, that the Lord preaches for our senses. And so they're not just acts that we participate in, but they are things that the Lord in His goodness and grace have given to us as covenant signs, which are the Word made visible. And so baptism and the Lord's Supper, we should expect in both cases that they are visible words, covenant signs, but we also can say that in both of them, Christ promises to be present among his church. It's just when I said no earlier, I think there are some distinctions that, you know, that for instance, the 1 Corinthians 10 passage relates specifically to the Lord's Supper and not to baptism as well, but there are a lot of similarities. Visible words, both of them are. Covenant signs, both of them are, and we should see that Christ is present as He promises in the Great Commission, to be present among His church as they baptize. So those are some of the similarities.
So, and if I'm not mistaken, the majority of the evangelical church today would view these ordinances as allegories and pictures only, and you're saying historically the Reformed faith would have a different view, but not one that crosses the line into sacerdotalism.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you summarized that well.
And we obviously have to be careful not to believe that these things are absolutely essential in order for someone to have eternal life or to become regenerate. In fact, we believe in a Reformed Ordo Salutis, Order of Salvation, and therefore there would be nobody who is genuinely interested in receiving the ordinance of baptism or the Lord's Supper, and I stress the word genuinely, unless they're already regenerate, because they might be interested for a host of reasons, to make their parents happy or to make their spouses happy, or to make their bosses happy if their boss happens to be a member of a church of some kind. There could be innumerable reasons why an unregenerate person would want to be baptized and receive the Lord's Supper, maybe just to fit in at the church, whatever the case may be. But only a regenerate person is going to have a truly heartfelt and Christ-honoring desire for these things.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's why the order is mixed up in many of our Arminian and other churches, and even in our Roman Catholic friends and Eastern Orthodox. They believe that somebody who is born with original sin can actually conjure up out of their wicked hearts some kind of a desire for these things that honor God, and in the case of Romanism and Eastern Orthodoxy, that they actually bring about the gift of regeneration by receiving them. And I never understood, and I don't know if you have any insight into this, how Martin Luther could be so biblical on salvation, and how he could uphold the pillars of the watchwords of the Reformation, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, sola scriptura, and soli Deo gloria, how he could believe in these things and yet at the same time believe in baptismal regeneration.
Well, I think there are a lot of people who could, particularly Luther scholars, who could flesh that out further. My initial take to that is that I think in God's grace the Reformation came about, and it was a movement. And so you can see where great stalwarts of the Reformation shifted by God's grace in so many ways, and yet in some senses still retained part of what they were coming out of. And so I think it's always helpful to view the Reformation as a movement over decades and centuries to the present time. And that would be my initial take as to why a person like Luther may still hold to some trappings that other people coming out of the Reformation today, like yourself and me, would not hold to.
And by the way, the strictly memorial or symbolic view is very often, especially when it comes to the Lord's Supper, is attributed very often to Ulrich Zwingli. But I have heard some historians question whether he was a strict memorialist. Do you know anything further about that?
I'm aware of the debate, and I'm also conscious that the discussion of Zwingli and his particular view, you're right. I mean, if you ask the average person who knows just a little bit about church history, if you say the memorial view, they're going to point right to Zwingli. And I think there is some need for nuance there. I don't have chapter and verse in Zwingli's writings to point to, but I think it is fair to say that there needs to be nuance as he is read.
Now, if you could break down how you present these truths of the ordinary means of grace in the book, and who would be the primary audience for the book?
The book started as out of a sermon series that our church went through several years ago, and the primary audience of the book is the person in the pew, particularly, and doesn't just have to be a Baptist, but particularly those Baptists who are maybe coming out of non-Reformed settings or are not familiar with particular Baptist history, just to expose them to the theological components behind the doctrine, but then a little bit of the history as well. Really, it's just a couple of chapters of exposition of each of the means, and then looking at some of the systematic theology and history behind it. But it's very simply written, I believe, And we just kind of, the book just kind of lays out an overarching chapter, and then it looks at each of the means individually, and then closes with a chapter on the importance of the Lord's Day and the gathered church.
Great. And we have to go to our first station break right now. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, once again, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Now don't go away. We'll be right back with J. Ryan Davidson and more of our discussion on the ordinary means of grace right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformed.com. hopereformedally.net. That's hopereformedally.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor. or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back. This is Chris Armsen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is J. Ryan Davidson, who is pastor at Grace Baptist Chapel in Hampton, Virginia. We are discussing his book, published by Reformed Academic Press, Reformed Baptist Academic Press, Green Pastures, A Primer on the Ordinary Means of Grace. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And what I'd like to do right away before I take any listener questions, I'd like to read at least one of these commendations for the book. And Carl Truman has been a guest on this program a number of times, professor of biblical and religious studies at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. And Dr. Truman says, one of the things that binds confessional Presbyterians and Reformed Baptists together is their common commitment to a ministry shaped by the ordinary means of grace. Such a ministry is not a matter of arbitrary personal taste, but driven by our understanding of exactly what God's grace is and how it becomes a reality in the lives of Christians. This short book helps in that regard, offering short, sound accounts of the Word, sacraments, and prayer in a manner that will help all those seeking a ministry that reflects biblical priorities and teaching. That's Carl Truman of Grove City College. And we do have a listener question for you, Brother Davidson. It is from Johnny in Queens, New York. There seems to be a loose interpretation of how and what ordinances and or sacraments within Reformed circles, Presbyterian, Dutch Reformed, Reformed Baptist, etc., are applied practically. What would you say are the means that actually, what would you say are the means that convey actual salvific grace to regenerate an unbeliever, and the means that strengthens and sanctifies the believer?
Well, I think that's a good question. There are perhaps there's a lot behind that question, either by the person asking or those outside of kind of looking at the reform perspective. I think, you know, a good succinct summary, and one that I confess, is in the London Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689, chapter 14, paragraph 1, there's some distinction that I think is helpful. There the confession says, the grace of faith, whereby the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their souls, is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts, and is ordinarily wrought by the ministry of the Word. And then the next phrase is helpful. It says, by which also, and by the administration of baptism and Lord's Supper, prayer, and other means appointed of God, it is increased and strengthened. And that, I think, is the helpful distinction. As a Reformed Baptist, I would say that the ministry of the Word, the proclamation of the Word, is the means that the Lord uses to birth faith, to bring about regeneration by the Spirit in the soul of the believer. But it is also by the preaching of the Word continually, and by the administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and by prayer, that faith, which is wrought by the preaching of the Word, is strengthened and increased. And I think that distinction is necessary. We want to be careful that we don't assume that faith is birthed in baptism, or faith is birthed in the Lord's Supper. That those are converting ordinances. And so I think that's a helpful distinction that the confession, the London Confession, speaks to very aptly.
Yes, and this would be, as we were discussing before the break, in stark contrast to the Roman Catholic understanding of ex opere operato, where the actual physical performance of the sacrament or rite is actually giving to this person eternal life, salvation. Am I right on that? Like, for instance,
yes.
That is why, and I don't want to upset our Presbyterian brethren, but when it comes to somebody like a Roman Catholic who believes in paedobaptism, the actual rite of baptism is regenerating the soul of that lost infant, and the lost infant neither has understanding of what goes on or doesn't have any kind of faith, doesn't have any kind of repentance, etc. It's the actual rite that is doing it.
Right. We would argue that the rite itself is not, as you mentioned, is not something that has power in and of itself. But I do think, in furthering the question that the listener just asked, particularly any who might be of kind of Baptist persuasion, it is something that is discussed in the writings of the early particular Baptists. And for those listeners, I'm assuming they're aware, but the early particular Baptists were a group of Baptists, initial Baptists in the 1600s, coming out of the Reformation, coming out of Puritan England, and today we would call them Reformed Baptists. But particular Baptists, like, for instance, the 17th century Benjamin Keach, and I quote this in the book, he writes the following phrase: there is a mystical conveyance or communication of all Christ's blessed merits to our souls through faith, held forth hereby, and in a glorious manner received in the right participation of it. So while we need to be careful to say that it's not the Lord's Supper that is a converting ordinance or is in and of itself powerful, it is a means by which the very salvation that Christ has wrought is blessed in the life of the faithful person at the Lord's Supper. There's more we could say about that phrase, and I don't want to take him out of context. But many Baptists who first hear this discussion of the means of grace might be surprised, because they might think, well, that's a Presbyterian thing, or that sounds Catholic. But what we are saying is, for many of us, the supper and baptism, growing up in Baptist circles, is something that is richer than many of us who didn't have a means of grace theology really understood. And that's part of the reason for the book, is to help people understand the blessing of the ordinary means.
Well, Johnny, make sure we have your full mailing address in Queens, New York, because you have won a free copy of Green Pastors, A Primer on the Ordinary Means of Grace, published by Reformed Baptist Academic Press, and that is their gift to you. So make sure that we get your full mailing address. In fact, I don't know if I told both of our anonymous listeners that as well, but if both of our anonymous listeners could also... I know I mentioned this to one of them, but both of you have won a free copy, or will win a free copy of the book. So make sure you both give us your mailing addresses and full names so that these books can be shipped out to you. And thanks for the excellent questions. We have, looks like, this, I don't know if I've ever had this many anonymous listeners before. We have another anonymous listener who asks, what you are teaching seems to magnify the importance of the ordinances rather than them being strictly symbolic or memorials. Therefore, has your view led you, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, for instance, to a more frequent participation in it than most, if not at the very least, many evangelicals do, and even many Reformed people do, who have it either once a month or sometimes even twice a year? And when it comes to baptism, do you have this administered more quickly rather than waiting sometimes even a year, when some churches will only baptize people on Easter Sunday, for instance? But if not that far off, many churches, if not most, make their candidates for baptism wait great periods of time to be baptized for reasons that I find unbiblical.
Yes, the simple answer is yes to both. I personally have grown in my appreciation for the sacraments over the years, and I think, given what I believe the Word of God says, while I don't think we have a direct prescription as to the frequency of baptism and the Lord's Supper, I do think there is every reason to think that it was a regular, the supper specifically, a regular, if not a weekly occurrence in the early church. And as it relates to baptism, as a Baptist, I believe that what brings a person to the waters of baptism is a profession of faith. I do think it's at our church, we, in our elders, interview someone who is has trusted Christ, or someone who is requesting baptism. But I think there is a potential, maybe damage is a strong word, but a potential missed opportunity, let's say, if we push off a person too long. And so our church schedules baptisms whenever there is a baptismal candidate. And we observe the Lord's Supper every other Lord's Day, and I would be perfectly happy observing the Lord's Supper every week. You know, you often hear people say, well, if you observe the Lord's Supper every week or every other week, it eventually loses its special nature or appeal. It just kind of becomes ordinary, which I would say, you know, we don't say that about preaching, and we don't say that about prayer. And so I think we certainly need to observe these sacraments, these ordinances, biblically, correctly, with reverence. And yet, I think in many of our churches, we neglect them and ought to do them more regularly.
Yes, I find that reason or excuse that it loses special meaning to be a non-biblical argument. And like you just said, I mean, even worship itself, or should I say corporate public worship, if we were going to use that logic, why don't we just meet once a month?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you, Anonymous, the other Anonymous listener. And please make sure you give us your full name and your mailing address so that this book that we have been addressing, Green Pastures, A Primer on the Ordinary Means of Grace, can be shipped out to you as soon as possible. Just out of curiosity, not that this would have a lot of weight attached to the discussion, but it is something that I find to be a growing trend. It seems that many, if not most, of the Reformed churches I'm aware of that have developed a higher view of the ordinances or sacraments and have begun with the, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, observing it every single Sunday, very often these churches also begin using fermented wine in the Lord's table, and they seem to think that this is very, very important. What are your views on that? And, I mean, can those that still choose to use unfermented grape juice continue to do so with confidence that they're not violating anything biblical, or should they join their fermented wine brethren and switching the that element of the table to the more powerful beverage, if you will?
Sure. I get that question from time to time, and yes, I do think it is it's a growing question, particularly among Baptists in America. We have a particular history in this country with prohibition and those kinds of things. My short answer would be, I think that the use of wine as well as the use of grape juice are appropriate. My preference is wine. I think if you read the scripture and you're seeking to utilize in a plain reading of the word what is there, I think we have every reason to believe that it would have been a fermented fruit of the vine, but I don't think that the prescription is so narrow that grape juice is a complete and utter misuse of the table. At our church, you know, when I came to Grace 12 years ago, they only had used grape juice, and we continued that tradition for a while, and then we had several ask us questions. My own thinking itself is, why don't we use wine? And so we end up using both at the table. We didn't want to make that something to divide the body over, and really there is no division. And so we make both available. My preference, again, is wine. If I were planting a church and I only had one thing to choose, I would choose fermented beverage, wine. But I don't think those that are using grape juice in their churches should think that they are not coming to the Lord's Supper, that they can't benefit from the table just because they're using grape juice.
This wouldn't be as radical a substitute as somebody who would, if they didn't have them available, you know, some hip modern church might think it's cool to have chocolate cake and soda as substitutes for the Lord's table, which would be, I'm assuming you would agree, entirely inappropriate, unlike the unfermented grape juice, which would be acceptable.
Right. I completely agree. I think chocolate cake and soda would be very problematic. But I like the way you said that. I think in this case, there's a fine distinction. You're using the fruit of the vine in both cases. And so I think there may be pastoral reasons why one congregation may use one or the other or both.
Well, we have to go to our midway break, and this is a longer than normal break, folks. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida. As you know, if you listen to the show every day, they need us to use our middle break every day to be longer because they air during this break their own public service announcements and other things that localize Iron Sharpened Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida, and while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. The station needs to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Florida because it's an FCC requirement. But while we are airing our globally heard commercials, please use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers, which will hopefully mean they will stick around as our advertisers since they're pleased with the results. And that means that we, God willing, will very likely have a longer future because we depend upon our advertisers to exist. We depend upon the financial support that comes through their advertising. So write down as much of the information as you can from our advertisers, and also send in questions to J. Ryan Davidson on the Ordinary Means of Grace. And that email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, when you're purchasing gifts for those that you love, whether they be for graduation gifts, going back to school gifts, wedding anniversaries, birthdays, retirement gifts, bereavement gifts, whatever the occasion may be, please always make your first stop to solid-ground-books.com, the website for Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com. They are a primary sponsor of this program. We doubt we could exist without their financial support that comes through their advertising. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, and always remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our guest, J. Ryan Davidson, we are just going to make a couple of announcements. First of all, please make note, especially if you have loved ones, or maybe you yourself, have been diagnosed with the coronavirus, or, as I said, if you have loved ones that have been, or you're just very worried about it. Tune in tomorrow, because Banu Gadi, the pharmacist that you've been hearing advertised on this show, he is not only a pharmacist, by the way, but he's an elder at a biblically solid, sovereign grace-believing Baptist church on Long Island, New Hyde Park Baptist Church. But he has a doctorate in pharmacy, and he has been making great breakthroughs treating patients that come to his pharmacy with very heavy doses of vitamin D3. And those that have been very seriously ill with the coronavirus, some even on their deathbed, have actually been cured of this pandemic, and those that are just wanting to ward off the infection have not received it. So I would strongly urge you to listen tomorrow and tell anybody that you know that either has the coronavirus, has loved ones with the coronavirus, or is just worried about it. Tell them to tune in tomorrow to hear Banu Gadi, sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I'm sure you will be amazed by what he has to say. Also, on Wednesday, we have Kurt Daniel returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He's going to be addressing, I believe it's for the fifth time now, I believe it's part five of a discussion on his book, The History and Theology of Calvinism. And Kurt always does a really remarkable job, and I'm always learning something that I did not know before about this great subject of Calvinism. So I hope that you will tune in. And Kurt Daniel is also the pastor of Faith Bible Church of Springfield, Illinois, and author and well known as an avid book collector and seller. So he is a real brilliant guy. So make a note to tune in on Wednesday for that interview, and we've got something going every day this week. I'm sorry, not only every day this week, but every day Monday through Friday for the entirety of June and July. So tune in and every day if you can to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Lastly, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you love sharing free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones, you love hearing guests and topics that very often are not heard anywhere else other than Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, then please help us remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And you can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail. If you look at the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, that's where you can send in a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio via snail mail. You can also advertise with us if you have something to promote that is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible at the very least in order to advertise with us. And also remember, folks, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio either. Those two things are commands of God in the Holy Scriptures. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money, perhaps because you've been saving money since you haven't been going to sporting events, you haven't been going to the movies, you haven't been going to concerts, you haven't been going to theatrical performances at theaters and playhouses, you haven't been going to Bible conferences. There's so many things that you haven't been doing. Perhaps you've been saving a lot of money in that way. So if you could share some of that money with us so that we can remain on the air, if indeed you love the show, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you need help finding one, no matter where you live in the entire planet, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've helped many people find churches, no matter where they live on this planet. Perhaps, God willing, I can help you as well. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. So I hope that you do that soon so you can rectify your churchless experience as a Christian, because remember, the Bible says nothing about lone wolf maverick Christians that are not under the authority of local elders and not members of a local church. So I hope I can help you rectify that. And send that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, J. Ryan Davidson. And by the way, if you hear a rattling noise, that's because there's a deluge going on outside. It's really raining very hard here in Pennsylvania. But that email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question for J. Ryan Davidson on the ordinary means of grace, and that's, once again, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Let's see. We do have John in Bangor, Maine, who has a question for you. He says, if God is completely and totally sovereign over all things and 100% to receive the glory for our salvation, we contribute nothing to it at all, why does he need to use means at all?
I think it's a potentially a lengthy answer we could give, but I think the short version would be that he chooses to do so. The Lord God has made us as finite creatures. He has placed us in the world of sound, the world of of food, of the world of means that we partake of all of the time, and the Lord has chosen to utilize means in the lives of the elect to bring them to faith and to strengthen and increase their faith. And so I think a short answer is for his own glory. He has chosen to utilize the means that he has.
Now, can you, out of your own study of this subject, let our listeners know some things that you've observed that makes salvation even more beautiful and meaningful to we humans because of this?
Certainly. I think it's helpful to consider the doctrine of God's covenant dealings with man and the confession that our church utilizes, what I confess, the London Baptist Confession of Faith, Chapter 7. It speaks to God's covenant. And I think it's helpful for us to remember that the means of grace are messages, if you will, of God's covenant work among a people. The proclamation of the new covenant grace that is available in Christ. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are covenant signs, and why that enriches our understanding. You know, can a person be a believer and not have a robust covenant theology? Absolutely. But it's helpful because we see the richness of God who makes covenant with his people and then gives them covenant signs in the Lord's Supper and in baptism. And so I think that's one example of how the means of grace are connected to other doctrines related to God's work among his people in salvation.
Great. Well, thank you for that. Let's see here. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And CJ asks, I can readily understand the great danger of someone falling into a salvation system that would include the necessity of observing sacraments in order to be saved, which would be a violation of sola fide, and clearly condemned as a false gospel in the book of Galatians and other places. But what are the dangers of the other extreme of being a pure and strict memorialist?
Oh, that's a good and astute question that CJ asks. I think, in short, the danger of the other extreme is an anemic faith, if you will, a faith that is not nurtured in the way that it, and nourished in the way that the Lord has ordained. The person who comes to Christ and has faith but is absent from the preaching of the Word regularly is not coming to the table or baptism, is not involved in the prayers of God's people or personal prayer, is going to have an underdeveloped and a malnourished faith, if you will. Now, as it relates to the specific question that CJ asked, the memorialist view, I think in one sense that a person with a memorialist view can benefit from the Lord's table as a memorialist. But when we come to understand what I think the Scripture teaches regarding the spiritual presence of Christ in the Supper, regarding the Supper being a visible word, a proclamation, a sermon, if you will, that the Lord those people and to them, then I think the understanding of the richness of the Supper causes us to benefit even more from it when we come to it. And it also helps us as the church to prioritize it. So I think that would be the danger in not valuing the ordinary means of grace, and even sometimes of just having a memorialist view, is that we don't benefit as much as we could from lack of understanding what these means are.
By the way, Brother Davidson, your voice occasionally for the first time started getting a little garbled. I don't know if you were doing anything different on your end or if it's because of this rainstorm, but perhaps if you could, we'll go to our final break a couple of minutes early, and we'll have you call back if that's all right.
Sure, certainly.
And we're going to have our guest call back, and we're going to go to our final advertising break. So don't go away. We'll be back right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent, as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hopley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB.
and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi. I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can call cvbbs.com as well at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. Only call that number Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, because that's the only time and those are the only days that they man that phone line, and there is no voicemail. And so call Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-656-0231. And as I've urged you to do before, before you go to cvbbs.com, first visit the website of our other sponsor, Solid Ground Christian Books, at solid-ground-books.com. These are both book-related advertisers on the show, but Solid Ground Christian Books is primarily a publisher whereas CVBBS.com is exclusively a distributor. Therefore, you can get all of Solid Ground Christian Books titles at CVBBS.com. And so you can kill two birds with one stone by ordering them that way. But first go to Solid Ground Christian Books, make a long list of books that you want to purchase at solid-ground-books.com. Then go to CVBBS.com and order them in addition to anything else that you want to order, because CVBBS.com has a very vast assortment of Christian titles from many different publishers. But anyway, we are back with our guest, J. Ryan Davidson, and we are going to be continuing for another 20 minutes or so our discussion on his book, Green Pastures, A Primer on the Ordinary Means of Grace. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We have, Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, when it comes to the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there are some frightening words that are contained about the Lord's Supper that I am sure you are familiar with. If we start at verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep, which is a reference to death. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. What exactly does it mean to eat in an unworthy manner? I certainly don't want to be guilty of that.
Certainly, it's a good question. In this book, Green Pastures, I have a short chapter on the Lord's Supper, and there's a footnote there where I reference an earlier book that I wrote just on the Lord's Supper called A Covenant Feast. And in that work, I deal more extensively with the passage that the listener has mentioned. But in short, I think context is helpful in 1 Corinthians. Some would say that eating the bread and drinking the cup, coming to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, means that you are not considering church unity. Others would say that that phrase discerning the Lord's body there in verse 29 has to do with properly understanding that the sign of bread and wine point to the thing signified, which is Christ's body. And so when we come to the Lord's table without understanding properly who Christ is and what he's done, his body and blood, then we're partaking in an unworthy manner. I think you could have elements of both, but I certainly think it is necessary when we come to the table to come with faith in Christ. This is a meal for prepared people. We come with repentance of sin, but not to minimize what is mentioned here in the warning. We also need to be careful that we don't make the table something that we're afraid to come to as well. I encourage people, confess sin, repent of any known sin, prepare yourself when you know that you're going to be coming to the table by prayerfully going to the Christ of the gospel, repenting of sin. If there are blatant situations of disunity in the body, seek to ameliorate those, to restore those, but then come in faith to the Lord's Supper. So there are a variety of views as to what is specifically referenced in 1 Corinthians 11, but I think two dominant views are a right understanding of the body and blood of Christ as signified in the table, and the need for church unity or individual unity with brothers and sisters in the faith. But again, that other work that I wrote, A Covenant Feast, deals with this text in more detail.
Yes, and you can also hear that recording on IronTripAndZionRadio.com later on if you want to go to the archive at IronTripAndZionRadio.com and click where it says Past Shows Podcast. Just look up J. Ryan Davidson and you will see the Covenant Feast interview listed there among other interviews. And so we hope that you are blessed by that. You can also type in Covenant Feast and it will come up right away. So enjoy that. It was an excellent interview, as I recall. And in fact, the first time we had him on, we only listed him as Ryan Davidson. So if you're looking for that specific interview, type in Ryan Davidson. How have you personally observed, either from churches where you are personally aware of what's going on at these congregations, or from what you've read historically, how churches have been positively transformed and enriched and have benefited greatly from growing in their understanding of the ordinances as a means of grace. They may have not held that view originally, may have, as we have been discussing, those that have the strictly memorialist view, they may have begun that way, but have moved on to a view that would include them as a means of grace. What does the great benefit and transformation look like?
That's a good question, brother. I think there are several things I could say. The first is that when we come to understand specifically the ordinances or the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper as ordinary means of grace, and we begin to prioritize them, it shifts how a church thinks about ministry. We live in a day where churches are trying to do all kinds of things and oftentimes minimize the very things which the Lord Christ has ordained for his church as he's present among them to be the ordinary, regular things. And so I think, number one, it has a way of changing how the church thinks about ministry and its purpose. But then, secondly, I think I've seen, even at our own church, as we've placed an increasing priority on the sacraments, on the ordinances, I've seen people grow in their faith, those wrestling with issues of assurance of salvation, coming to the table and receiving the elements, and the change in theology perhaps has given them an increasing understanding that it is Christ who is making himself known in the supper. And so I think there is a corporate change that occurs, but I think on the individual level, as we prioritize them, we see them as God's good gifts that we go to and that they're for our edification, and we begin to rest increasingly in what he's done as he simply uses preaching, prayer, and sacraments as the predominant means to grow us. And that simplicity is something that gives us over time, or can give us, a sense of peace and trust in what God is doing among his sheep.
Well, I'd like you to, uninterrupted, have about 5 minutes where you summarize what you most want our listeners to remember about the book that you've written, and the theme especially, The Ordinary Means of Grace, before our program is off the air.
certainly. I would say that this topic has been one of increasing special value in my own life. I, as a pastor, am very desirous for people in my own congregation, for believers all across the world, to understand that the Lord has said that He is going to use specific things, that He has attached the promise of blessing, if you will, in them. And those things are preaching, prayer, and the sacraments. And as we think about those things, I would encourage the listener to consider various texts of Scripture. You know, that's what I do in the book. I just go one by one. And really, each of these things are ultimately about God's Word. Christ, the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, promises to be present with His churches. We see Christ in the book of the Revelation pictured there standing among the lampstands, standing among His churches. And we see in the Scriptures, whether it's Acts 20, verse 32, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, or, of course, 1 Corinthians 11, in other passages, we see the writers, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pointing to what the risen Christ who stands among His churches chiefly uses to grow them in the faith. And we live in a day of a lot of substitutes. We are no longer structuring our worship services in many places according to how the Lord regulates His worship. And because of that, we have cast off preaching or minimized it. We've minimized sacraments. We've downplayed the role of prayer, specifically public prayer, in our worship services. And as a result, the very things which the Lord has said in His Word that He will use, that He will bless, we have minimized, and we're looking for substitutes. And I think I give this example in the book discussing this, but, you know, my wife and I have four children, and we have realized that one of the things that our children need are regular meals, of course. But when you give children snacks all the time, then they kind of lose their appetite for the nutritious food, you know, that is offered regularly at mealtime. And so we had to come to the place where we said, hey, let's cut out some of the snacks so that the children come to the table more hungry and they actually eat the food that is more nutritious than the snack bin. Well, similarly in the Christian life, we've gone to all kinds of snacks or emotional experiences rather than these ordinary means that contain the very things that we need, that the Lord says that He will use. And so I would encourage the reader, if they have, the listener, if they have time, to pick up a copy of the book and read it with the Bible open and just see what the Lord says in His Word about how He will nurture their faith, utilizing through His Spirit these means. In the final chapter, I talk about the importance of the Lord's Day. The book doesn't have a full treatment of the Sabbath or the Lord's Day, but that is actually something that we've minimized in American Christianity as well. And so the book is structured with the understanding that the Lord is the great shepherd who brings His sheep into the sheep pen of His church and feeds them in a regular rhythm of meals through the means of grace, and He has told us what that rhythm is. It's Lord's Day gathering after Lord's Day gathering. Through the regular means, Christ, the great shepherd, feeds His sheep in the green pastures of the means of grace. And so those are some things that I would say.
Well, praise God. Well, we have time for just a couple more questions, I guess. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, we already addressed the issue on the nonsensical excuse for not having a frequent observance of the Lord's Supper that it makes it less meaningful. Obviously, as you already stated, that would open up a doorway for doing a lot of other important things a lot less frequently. But I was wondering, how can we preserve that special and unique view of the ordinances that may, unfortunately, because we are sinners after all, start to diminish in their importance in our minds, not necessarily because of the frequency with which we observe them, but they just become so much a part of our regular life that we may take them for granted?
I think it's a great question. And briefly, I would just say, I think we should view them as a part of the Lord's Day, and we should prioritize the Lord's Day. And, you know, the Puritans, as many have noted, called the Sabbath of the Lord's Day the market day of the soul. And we ought to prepare, and our weeks ought to revolve around the Lord's Day or Sunday. And so one of the things we do at our church is we try to send out a preparation guide to our congregation on Fridays. Here are the scripture passages that will be read, here is the sermon text. Here are some songs that we will sing. Prayerfully consider over the weekend leading up to the Lord's Day the fact that you will be coming to the table. Consider that as the feast that the Lord gives you, and a feast where you will meet with Him in a unique way. And so I think it's a good question. We certainly don't want to observe the Lord's Supper frequently and yet have a callous view of it. We want to prepare for it to be a weekly or every other week or however often we observe it, to be a feast that is so crucial. It is the meal of all meals for us. And so every time we know we're coming to the Lord's table, we should prayerfully ask the Spirit to give us a right view of it and preparation for it.
Okay, we've got another anonymous listener who says, I am concerned that the church where I am a member does not bring the Lord's table with several members to keep in the tradition of having two or more gathered together to a nursing home or a hospital to administer the Lord's Supper to the patient or resident. I was wondering, why is there such a prohibition of this, especially amongst Reformed Christians, when most of them, as far as I know, would not hesitate to baptize a patient or resident in a hospital or nursing home, and because of the very serious importance of the Lord's Supper? Why are we allowing precious members of the faith who, by no fault of their own, are prevented from gathering with us as the body to celebrate the Eucharist?
Well, in short, I think in a Reformed understanding of Scripture, we see that the Lord's table is to be tied directly to the Word, that the ministry of the Word and the administration of the sacrament of the supper are to go together. Now, I know in some Reformed contexts, people will observe the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, and a small group with one of the elders or pastors within that Reformed congregation may go to a nursing home, and as an extension of that service, have the Lord's Supper with that person. Now, that's going to vary, and I'm not saying that that should be done or not, shouldn't be done, but I think my hunch is that Reformed congregations really want to protect the Lord's Supper, not simply as a standalone act, but as something that should accompany the ministry of the Word. And I would imagine that whatever context this listener is in, that may be at play in the Reformed congregations that he or she may be observing. There's likely a lot more there, we could say, but that's probably at least an initial part of the question.
Well, we are out of time. I want to make sure you have the website for Grace Baptist Church of Hampton. I'm sorry, Grace Baptist Chapel of Hampton, Virginia. It's gracebaptistchapel.net, gracebaptistchapel.net, and don't forget about Reformed Baptist Academic Press either. That website is rbap.net, rbap.net. Thank you so much, Pastor Davidson. It's been such a joy to have you on the program. I hope to have you back on frequently in the future. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.